Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Elevate Your Energy Radio. My name is Evelyn Lambrecht. Very excited for today's show. I'm interviewing Trudy Scott. She's the author of The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. I'm actually a little anxious right now, but I always get like that before every show. So I do have a couple of announcements first. My new website is finally done and it's up. So go check it out. It's at elevateyourenergy.com. You can download your free gift there, 5 days to more energy for the life you want. So elevateyourenergy.com or evelynlambrecht.com will lead you there. I'm pretty proud of it. It's a long time in the making. So last week on the show, if you missed it, we had Diane Sanfilippo. Her book, The 21-Day Sugar Detox, actually came out today. And I got my copy in the mail yesterday, and it looks beautiful. So make sure you tune into that show. It was really good. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Thank you so much. I hope you like it, and I hope you share it with your friends. So for today's show, let me read you Trudy's bio. Food mood expert Trudy Scott is a certified nutritionist on a mission to educate and empower women worldwide about the healing powers of real, whole food and some pretty amazing nutrients so they can find natural solutions for their anxiety, stress, depression, emotional eating, and sugar cravings. Trudy is the author of The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, How the Foods You Eat Can Help You Calm Your Anxious Mind, Improve Your Mood, and End Cravings. Trudy is past president of the National Association of Nutrition Professionals and won the 2012 Impact Award. Her website is theantianxietyfoodsolution.com. Trudy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Evelyn. It's great to be here. I think you've got a great show, and you don't sound anxious at all.
Awesome. That's because I just took GABA. You know that, right?
Good for you.
Actually, that's not why. I actually feel pretty good. Once I get started, it's okay.
Good.
So I didn't actually realize until I read your book this weekend, which was phenomenal, by the way, that you haven't always been a nutritionist. Can you share your story with us?
Yes, certainly. I got into this because of my own issues with anxiety, and I actually had 3 panic attacks, which were terrifying. I thought I was going to die, and I had no idea what was going on, and it came out of the blue, or so I thought. I was actually working in corporate America, working really long hours, not having enough downtime, not getting enough sleep. I was actually eating a vegetarian diet, which did not suit me and what I needed. And it was very unusual for me to feel anxious, but out of the blue, I would start feeling anxious in the middle of the night. I would wake feeling this sense of doom and gloom and fearful of everything and anything for no reason at all. You know, I wouldn't be in an anxiety-provoking situation, but I would be feeling anxious. And it was very unusual for me because I'm a rock climber and I've spent, you know, some time on cliff faces and, you know, on a portal ledge in Zion National Park, and I've done some ice climbing, and I've done some pretty crazy things on rock faces. So I wouldn't consider myself an anxious, timid person, but I started to just get increasingly anxious. And this was in my late 40s, and I just got worse and worse and worse. And I worked with a nurse practitioner, and I worked with a naturopath, and I found this amazing solution in using food and nutrients. And I had a lot of issues going on. I had gluten problems. I had low blood sugar problems. I had adrenal fatigue. I actually had this condition called pyroluria, which I think we're going to talk about later. But adding in nutrients and changing my diet gave me solutions. I was actually a GABA girl as well. GABA is what got me over the hump while I was figuring all of this out, because it was a lot of things that, and you want answers right away. And GABA gave me resolution right away. It's a calming amino acid that raises your GABA levels, and that gave me hope while I was trying to figure all these other things out. But long story short, I was so inspired by this that I went back to school to become a nutritionist, really to help myself and learn more about how I should be eating. But once I learned this very powerful connection between food and how I was feeling and how it could help other people, I decided to make it my life work. And I quit my computer job and I became a nutritionist. And 10 years later, here I am helping other women find this this connection between what they eat and how they feel, and it's wonderful. I love doing what I do.
That's awesome. And by the way, if you're wondering where Trudy's accent is from, she's from South Africa, which I think is so cool. So you wrote this book. Obviously, you dealt with these issues, but who is this information for? Is this, you know, if you just have panic attacks here and there, you're generally anxious, when should you follow these suggestions versus, you know, really going to a doctor, you know, for really bad anxiety? Do you know what I mean?
It helps everyone. I wrote it for women because I primarily work with women, but it works for men as well. And I often find that women will talk more about their anxiety and their depression than men will. And a lot of men have it, but they don't talk about it. I've worked with a number of men who say that they haven't really talked about it because they're ashamed to talk about it. And once they start learning that there's this biochemical component, it's a lot easier to talk about. But it's for anyone who has any level of anxiety. And unfortunately, a lot of people find the book after they've tried medications and they haven't got answers, or maybe they've tried medication and they don't want to stay on the medication long term, or maybe they're getting side effects. A lot of people have tried therapy and it's helped to some extent, or maybe it hasn't helped at all, or maybe they need something as well as a therapy. Or it could be for someone who hasn't tried therapy or medication and they just want to learn it, you know, learn these facts and be healthier. The great thing is, implementing the things that we're going to talk about today help you with your mental health, your anxiety and your fears, panic attacks, and also helps with physical health, because if we eat according to our own biochemical individuality and address nutritional deficiencies and fix these imbalances, we have better overall health physically and mentally, which is absolutely wonderful. So it's for anyone, and I work with people who are on medications and obviously work with them, with their doctors, to help them taper off their medications if that's what they want to do. And most of my clients are able to get off their medications by following these things that we're going to talk about. So it's really, really wonderful. And my mission is to help people know that there is this connection between food and nutrients and our moods, because it's not well understood. And I'm actually traveling around the country presenting to therapists and psychiatrists and other mental health professionals, teaching them about this connection. Because a lot of people who are anxious or depressed will go to the doctor or they'll go to a therapist. They don't think of going to a nutritionist. And I want to change that thinking. I want the therapist to be including it as part of their protocols, asking their clients, what are they having for breakfast? You know, did you have breakfast? Are you drinking coffee? And all these other things. Because we don't often make that connection. And I think it's time that we do, because there's so much research supporting it. It needs to become part of the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. I hope, you know, a lot of people listening are going, oh my gosh, that's me. So stay tuned. So your first suggestion in the book is starting with a gluten-free diet. Why is that?
This is not necessarily the first thing for everybody, but I do find that it is very commonly an issue. Gluten is protein, obviously found in wheat and rye, barley, and then oats is often contaminated with gluten. And I find that about 80% of my clients have an issue with gluten. And for many of them, it has a mental health component. So gluten can cause anxiety, social anxiety, actually depression, as well as all these, the digestive symptoms that we associate with gluten intolerance. The other thing is it can cause nutritional deficiencies because the damage can happen to the digestive lining, and we can become depleted in some of the very nutrients that we need to help us feel calm. For example, zinc is a very important cofactor in making GABA, in making serotonin, very calming mineral, and it's very commonly depleted when we have a gluten intolerance. So the other thing is gluten can be very addicting, and if we're eating carbohydrates that are high in sugar and high in gluten, we're getting all the, you know, the bad effects from the carbohydrates and from the sugar as well as from the gluten. And then we may not be eating healthy foods because we're eating way too many of these unhealthy foods.
Mm-hmm. And you really stress the importance of getting fat into your diet. So how much, what kind, and why is this so important for mood?
I'm so glad you asked this question, because we are such a fat-phobic society, and it breaks my heart when I see moms who are trying to lose weight are on a low-fat or zero-fat diet, and then the rest of the family is on this low-fat and zero-fat diet. You know, the kids as well, and the kids need those fats for brain chemicals and for developing, you know, a healthy brain, and it's so important for making our neurotransmitters. It's really important for making our brain chemicals, and I think healthy fats are just wonderful, and they should become a part of the diet. So I love butter, and when I tell my clients, yes, butter's okay, you can eat butter, they are thrilled, and coconut milk is fabulous, olive oil is fabulous, as well as the coconut milk, adding in things like coconut oil is great, and there are a number of reasons why it's great. Firstly, as I said, it helps to make the brain chemicals, it helps to make some of those hormones, but the other thing with fats is they help to keep our blood sugar stable, and when you're having these blood sugar swings, that can look like anxiety. So if you had something at breakfast that didn't contain fat, say you had a bagel or you had a bowl of cereal and you didn't have enough fat and enough protein, you actually want some protein in that breakfast as well. But if you don't have enough fat or protein to complement the carbohydrate that you're getting, you're going to get this blood sugar high. And then an hour later, you're going to get this blood sugar crash. And then you're going to want something else. You're going to want some sugar again. And you end up being on this roller coaster of blood sugar highs and blood sugar lows, which can look like anxiety, irritability. Some people even feel depressed as they go through these blood sugar ups and downs. So it's really good to incorporate these fats for neurotransmitters, for making hormones, and then for keeping that blood sugar nice and stable throughout the day. The other problem is if you're getting these ups and downs in your blood sugar, that's putting a huge stress on your adrenals. And when you've got stressed out adrenals, that's when you're going to go for the sugar. That's when you're going to go for these things that are going to give you this false energy. You might need coffee. Which is another problem for a lot of people. Coffee can cause a lot of people to feel much more anxious. So you want to make sure that you keep your blood sugar stable throughout the day. And that's why I'm a big fan of getting healthy fats into your diet. And I didn't talk about animal fat, but animal fat, provided it is from good quality animals, is a great source of nourishment. That could be grass-fed red meat, it could be wild fish, but getting that healthy fat is just so important.
Mm-hmm. So what would you consider, in addition to what you just said right now, an optimal eating plan to improve anxiety and to calm your mind?
The first thing is real whole food. So we want to be eating real food, just like our grandparents ate. And we want to be eating according to our own unique biochemistry, because we all have our unique biochemistry. But the basis is the real food, getting enough protein, and getting fruits and vegetables, making sure they are organic. So whenever we're talking about any food here, we're talking about quality, really good quality, because we've got issues with pesticides. There's a lot of research showing that pesticides can increase anxiety. We've seen research showing that kids eating non-organic fruits and vegetables have higher rates of ADD and ADHD. So again, quality is really important, but getting the good quality foundational food into our diet is just the most important thing. And then we've got all these other things that we need to think about, like reducing sugar, getting off sugar, getting off gluten if it is an issue, and then all these fats that you just talked about.
Mm-hmm. And then in your book, you had a section on some what you consider bonus foods. Can you tell us what some of those are that can help with anxiety?
Yes. I love things like fermented foods, so maybe having some sauerkraut, or if you can tolerate dairy, having some yogurt or kefir. When they're fermented, you have all the good bacteria the probiotics in these foods, and those actually help digestive health. And of course, we have a lot of serotonin in our gut, and we need to have a healthy gut. We need to have a healthy digestive system in order to have a healthy mood. So eating those fermented foods are very healing of the digestive system. They provide the good bacteria, so we don't have this imbalance of bacteria, which can in itself cause problems. I also love broth, a healthy bone broth or a vegetable broth. Again, very nourishing, very rich in minerals, and very healing of the digestive system. And, you know, there's actually research showing that chicken broth is healing. You know, we think of it as a grandmother's tale, but there's research showing how healing it is. And just, you know, once a week, if you make a roast chicken, take the bones of the chicken and put it in a big pot, put in some vinegar in there, it draws all the minerals out of the bones, and then cook up the chicken bones for about 12 hours on a slow speed on the oven, and then use that broth when you're making rice or when you're making other soups. You can just add it to the other foods that you're cooking, and you're getting the nourishment from the broth. Or you can just drink it straight, which is wonderful. You can do it with chicken bones. You can do it with other bones. If you're going to use other bones, I recommend using a slow cooker, because it does take quite a long time if you're doing lamb bones or beef bones.
I love chicken broth. So
isn't
good.
It wonderful? And at this time of the year, it's just wonderful. We just had our first snow on the mountains here in California, and it's all chilly, and I'm just thinking a nice big chicken broth would be lovely.
You must not be in the part of California where I am.
Are you
Southern
California?
Well, I'm in San Diego, so.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm in Sacramento, and we just got snow on the mountains, and it's freezing.
Nice. So what are some foods that can make anxiety worse?
So sugar is definitely one of them, and sugar does deplete us of nutrients. In order to actually digest the sugar, we use up some of the minerals in our body. Magnesium is one of them. Magnesium is a calming mineral. I mentioned zinc earlier, and sugar depletes us of zinc levels. Other things that deplete us of zinc levels is exercise and stress, of course. So we've got to keep those, you know, we've got to keep a handle on that as well. But another big factor, other than just a food, is that when you eat. So if you do not eat breakfast, that's going to have an impact. I mentioned the low blood sugar impact, and having breakfast every single day and having breakfast with protein makes a big difference, because that's going to keep the blood sugar even. Another thing is coffee, and whenever I am doing my live talks and I've got the audience sitting there and I mention coffee, I get these horrified looks in the audience. What? I'm going to have to think about my coffee. And it's an issue on a number of levels. And firstly, let me just say this. If you're listening to this and you are a coffee drinker and you're feeling freaked out about this, don't worry about it, because most of my clients hold on to their coffee. They'll give up the sugar. They'll give up the gluten. They're willing to make a lot of other changes. They'll have a smoothie for breakfast. They'll make sure they have breakfast. But they really hold on to the coffee. So it's very... it's comforting. It makes people feel good. It's often there's a ritual around it. You know, get up in the early morning, make my coffee, sit and look at the sunrise. It's a nice quiet time. You know, it's my time. The problem is with coffee. Firstly, if you are anxious, it really is something to consider removing, because there are a subset of people that are more affected by the caffeine. And it's a simple thing. Why add in a bunch of supplements? Why do a bunch of testing when it could just be the coffee that's causing the anxiety? And there's a lot of research showing that, you know, groups of people, coffee drinkers, very anxious, medication didn't work, therapy didn't work, they got off the coffee, and within a week, their anxiety was completely gone. Anxiety and panic attacks, so it can cause panic attacks as well. We know also that it affects your sleep. And, you know, some people say, I don't drink coffee, you know, afternoon, from noon onwards because it does affect my sleep. But even coffee, you know, in the morning can affect your sleep if you are susceptible to it. So that is the one issue. It definitely can make anxiety worse. Now, there are some other issues. The other thing is coffee is highly sprayed with pesticides. So I mentioned pesticides earlier, and we don't want to be adding all those additional pesticides into our diet because you may be affected by the pesticides. The other thing is if you're drinking coffee in a plastic mug or a polystyrene mug, you're getting all the toxins from the mug. So if you do find that you're okay with coffee, you definitely want to drink in a ceramic mug, and it should be organic. But even if coffee doesn't make you anxious, I still challenge you to give up coffee. And I know there's, I know you're going to be interviewing Dave Asprey, the bulletproof coffee guy. And I'm still not
tomorrow.
Yep. Oh, really? Okay. Well, I'm interested. I'm going to get on and listen because I'm interested, and I've got an open mind, and I know his coffee is different. So I am intrigued. I certainly am. But I do still think that just like we self-medicate with sugar to make us feel good, to give us energy, to make us feel happy, I think that there is some of that with the coffee, that we're using it to self-medicate with. And I just feel that if you take the coffee out and you can't function, then you need to be looking at, have you got adrenal fatigue? Have you got low thyroid? Are you not getting enough sleep? Maybe you're staying up really late, so you need the coffee in the morning. And I would look to other sources to give you that energy. I still feel like coffee is a stimulant. It's documented as being a stimulant, and I think it's a false energy. I think we should be able to get there are better ways to get energy rather than taking a stimulant. That's my take on it.
Have you tried the bulletproof coffee with the butter?
I have not.
It tastes so good.
I'm sure it does, and it smells good. You know, when I walk past coffee and I smell it, it really smells good. And
yeah.
I was at an event, that event with you when I met Dave Asprey, and it was there, and I was tempted at one level to try it because I've got an open mind and I like to try things and I don't like to knock anything until I've tried it. But I am one of those people that is really affected by caffeine. And I mean, I would be flying through the room if I'd had coffee, you know, if I had regular coffee. I have heard people say that his coffee does not cause that same effect. So that makes it even more intriguing to me. So that aside, you know, the fact that what he's doing with that coffee doesn't make you anxious is intriguing to me, but I'm still not sure if it's the sort of self-medicating that people are doing. And you will hear people who talk about their coffee, they are very defensive about it. You know, I'm not addicted to it. I just like the taste, and it's, you know, don't take this away from me. So that makes me switch on my little thinking cap about this is there's a sort of addictive component, this sort of self-medicating component to it, like that people have with sugar and they have with gluten and carbohydrates. So it's just the way I think.
I know it's supposed to keep you more full, and some people don't eat any food with it, but I notice I still need to eat food with it.
Do.
Otherwise, I can get shaky. But some days
really?
I don't.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't affect me. So, but do you think that people who like if you're a slower, fast metabolizer of coffee, that affects, you know, how you, like whether coffee makes you more anxious or not?
I think it can depend on a number of factors. One could be the status of your adrenals, so that might be a factor. It may be worse if you lower in GABA levels. And quite honestly, I haven't tried any for years. I have not had coffee for 15 years. So it probably would be worth me trying it to see if it does still affect me. Maybe it was affecting me really badly when I had my really bad anxiety. So, and you know, earlier in the call I said I had my anxiety in my late 40s. It was actually my late 30s. So let me get that one right. So it was in my late 30s, and I'm just about to be 53. So it was a long time ago. But so I'm probably going to give it a try just to see what it's like. But the other thing is I'm now just learning about all the genetic testing, and there are a few markers, genetic markers, that show you are more affected by the effects of caffeine. So this is something that I'm very interested in. I'm going to be looking at into some more detail and digging a little bit deeper to see which of the genes are, and then if people get tested to say, yes, you've got this gene that shows that you are more susceptible to it, which I think is wonderful because we are all unique, and there are definitely some people that can do things that other people can't do. And I wanted to just go back to what you said earlier. You mentioned that it fills you up, that you don't feel like eating. And that's an important point, because when I'm working with someone and I'm helping them get off coffee and they're not quite ready to do it, I will say to them, at least make the commitment that you are going to have breakfast first and then have coffee. Because some people will have their coffee and then they don't have breakfast, and then that's setting them up for blood sugar swings for the rest of the day. So they will commit to having breakfast, and then they'll have their coffee, and then sometimes they don't feel like the coffee as much, or they may have less. So that's an important factor. And then also going back to the comment about not eating, some people will use coffee so they don't eat, so they're using it as a weight loss method, which is not the greatest thing, because you do need to be eating. You just need to be eating the right thing. So that's another factor that we need to consider.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you try it in January when we go to Florida, don't blame it on me. if it doesn't sit well
maybe
with you.
Yeah, I'll try it. I'll let you know if I'm going to try it, and then you can be my guardian.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do it at the end of the weekend so I can. Maybe I should do it before I go.
Yeah, one more question on the coffee. So for someone listening who's thinking, okay, I maybe should try getting off coffee, what are some suggestions for quitting caffeine for someone who's struggling with this?
So firstly, do have the breakfast first and then have the caffeine. And then there's two ways you can do it. One is to go cold turkey. And if you're going to do that, you probably want to do it on a weekend, because you are very likely going to get a headache. And just, two or three days and then the headache will be gone. And the other option is to slowly but surely taper down. And if you're someone who's drinking coffee three or four or five times a day, even two or three times a day, you want to cut that back, and then start diluting your coffee with a bit of decaf and a bit of regular coffee. And I'm saying coffee, but it could be any. It could be sodas or whatever. It's usually the coffee that's a problem. So start cutting back. But I will tell you that there are a number of nutrients that really help. Certainly vitamin C can help. And then tyrosine is an amino acid that helps with low catecholamines, and these are neurotransmitters that give us energy. And a lot of people are drawn to caffeine in the first place because they've got burned out adrenals and low levels of catecholamines. So if you do quit the coffee and you are now absolutely wiped out and you can't function, then you need to work with someone to look at your adrenal function, to look at your thyroid. Maybe you've got anemia, or maybe you're not getting enough sleep. But you've got to get to the root cause of why you need it in the first place. But adding in that tyrosine as a supplement can, give you that little bit of energy while you're addressing all the other problems.
Mm-hmm. I think we just talked about coffee for 10 minutes straight. I think that's pretty awesome.
I want to say one more thing about that. All of my clients who have been horrified at the thought of giving up the coffee will tell me, 2 weeks after having been off the coffee, they're so glad they did, and they can't believe they made such a fuss about it. So it may feel awful thought, but once you do it, it's often mm-hmm. not a big deal.
Yeah. And then one more thing on the food before we move on to some of the amino acids that can help. Mm-hmm. How could food sensitivities contribute to anxiety issues?
So food sensitivities can definitely have an impact at a number of different levels. We talked about gluten earlier. There could be an issue with other carbohydrates other than gluten-containing grains. So in my book, I talk about these four different diets that I have my clients do. The first one is a gluten-free diet. The second one is gluten-free and dairy-free. And often people with gluten problems may have a dairy issue, and it may just be a temporary thing until the gut gets healed. Then the third diet is the GAPS diet, or the paleo diet, which is, animal protein, fish and meat and eggs and fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds. And some people just can't tolerate any grains at all. And then the fourth diet is a combination of all of those. But going back to your question about food sensitivities, if you've got food sensitivities, you can have the damage to the gut and you can have the malabsorption. But the other thing that can happen is you can actually have inflammation going on. And inflammation can affect your levels of serotonin. And serotonin, although we associate it with depression, is often directly tied to anxiety. It's a kind of anxiety where you've got the worry in your head, the ruminating thoughts, rather than the physical kind of tense anxiety. So food sensitivities are definitely something that we need to look at. And this goes back to the whole digestive system and how important the digestion is.
Mm-hmm. If anyone's listening live and you'd like to call in and ask a question, the number is 347-677-0985. So let's talk about some of the amino acids for a moment. So how can certain amino acids help and how quickly do they work?
So I love the individual amino acids. Adding the amino acids into the protocols that I use with my clients have been the biggest game changer in the work that I do because they work so quickly. And amino acids are building blocks of protein, and taken as individual supplements at certain times of the day for specific symptoms result in symptom relief within 5 minutes. And it is so wonderful because people get results right away. It gives them hope. They're starting to feel better. Switches off cravings. It reduces anxiety. It improves mood. It improves self-esteem. It improves optimism. And it gives them, you know, hope right away while we're addressing the food intolerances, while we're helping them get off the caffeine, while we're helping them get off the gluten and the sugar. And let me just give you an example. So one of them would be looking at someone who has low serotonin levels. So everyone fills in a questionnaire when they work with me, and some symptoms of low serotonin would be this anxiety and worry in the head where you've got this, you can't switch the mind off. And you may also have negative self-talk. You may have low self-esteem. You may have PMS, irritability, sleep problems, afternoon and evening cravings. And with each of these different areas, there's five of them that I work with. Low serotonin is one of them. With each of these areas, there's a mood component and there's a sugar cravings component. So now we're looking at low serotonin, and the amino acid that I use is tryptophan. 5-HTP also can be used. I tend to use tryptophan first. But someone comes into the office, or I'm working with him over the phone because I work with people over the phone as well. They score maybe 8s or 9s on all of these symptoms. And I say to them, okay, let's have you try some tryptophan. And there and then, during that session, I will say, how are you feeling right now? And they'll say, yes, my negativity is about an 8, and I'm really craving some carbohydrate, and I've just got this fizzy head going on and on and on, and they're all 8s or 9s. So I will give them some tryptophan right there and then in the office, or if we're working over the phone, they'll do it while they're on the other end of the phone. And I'll say, okay, take this, and I'll check in with you in 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, I'll say to them, so how are you feeling? I'll say, gee, I'm not even thinking about that candy bar that I was feeling like. And I hadn't even thought about all the things that I've been wanting to do and that I've been worrying about. And, my negativities, I'm feeling optimistic. Gee, I've got hope. And they'll usually say to me, Is this a placebo effect? Am I just feeling like this because I'm talking to you, because I'm working with you, you know, I'm focused on this? And the symptoms, what we're looking for is their symptom reduction to go from like an 8 or a 9 to like a 5 maybe. And then we'll wait maybe another 5 minutes, and maybe it'll go down a few more notches, so maybe it'll go to a 3. If we get that sort of result in 5 minutes, that's in 5 or 10 minutes, that's wonderful. For some people, it'll just improve a little bit, and then I'll have them try another one. But it really does work this quickly. Now, the important thing with this is it needs to be taken on an empty stomach, so away from protein-containing food, so it doesn't compete for absorption with the other protein in the food. And I have people do it sublingually, so I have them open the capsule and put it on their tongue. That way, it gets into the brain quickly, and you get results quickly. I do want to just say one thing with tryptophan for anyone who's listening, and if they're going to possibly try this on their own. if you are taking an SSRI, you do need to work with someone who knows about the, you know, the fact that you can't do tryptophan or any other serotonin-raising supplement when you are taking an SSRI. And you need to work with your doctor, and you need to work with someone who's knowledgeable about this. I do work with people who are on SSRIs, and there's a timing on when you need to take it. But, you know, if anyone is wanting to try this on their own, they just need to get informed, you know, read the book or work with someone who can help them through this.
Mm-hmm. So does taking certain amino acids actually address the underlying cause? You know, mm-hmm. like do you find that, you know, GABA is low in the brain or serotonin is low in the brain, but then if you supplement with them, does your body actually produce less over time? You know, is that a concern?
No, not at all. Definitely not. So it does address the underlying cause. And that's a great question because these are not meant to be taken indefinitely. If we get the underlying diet sorted out, which is why I mentioned earlier that, you know, eating a good, real whole foods diet with good quality animal protein. We didn't even talk about grass-fed red meat, and I'll mention that in a second. But eating good, real food is important. Taking these amino acids, I mentioned tryptophan, the other one is GABA. There's the tyrosine, which I mentioned for the coffee and the low energy. There's DPA, which raises endorphins, which helps with comfort eating. And then there is glutamine, which stops the sugar craving. If we take these amino acids to address these symptoms that we have, it's a short-term thing. And once your levels, it is addressing the low levels of these neurotransmitters, and it raises them. And then if you are continuing to eat a healthy diet, you should be able to maintain that. Now, there are some nuances here because women tend to make less serotonin than men. And in the winter time, we may need an extra little boost because of the winter blues, because of the cloudy skies, because we make serotonin by getting light. And if you're not exercising enough, you may need a little bit of a boost. So there are times when you may need a boost. But generally speaking, supplementing with the amino acids is a short-term thing, and absolutely there's no issue with being worried about your body making less over time, because we are just basically you've got an empty bucket and you're filling up the bucket.
How short-term are you talking about?
Generally speaking, with adults, it's, I would say, a month to 3 months, maybe 6 months. With kids, I'll see results within a month often. And that does differ depending on different people. I had one woman that I worked with who had major gluten issues. She actually had eczema. She was on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, and she had eczema all over the side of her face and down her arm. And we had her start on the tryptophan to help with the afternoon and evening cravings. I had her take some GABA because she was anxious. And I also had her take the DPA, which is the endorphin, because she was a comfort eater. She ate as it was a reward. It was a treat for her. And that helped her get off the gluten, which she needed, because the gluten and the sugar can be very addicting. And you can't just use willpower. You know, willpower will get the better of us. And if we address these brain chemical imbalances, it means you can get off these carbohydrates and these sugars without feeling deprived. But the interesting thing was that once she got off the gluten, which miraculously completely eliminated her eczema, which she'd had for 10 years, she found she didn't need the amino acids anymore. It was the gluten that was causing the mood problems. So we used the amino acids to help her get off the gluten, but once she got off the gluten, she didn't need the amino acids anymore. And she actually went back to her doctor, and she was able to taper off her medication and get off of it. So for her, she only needed to be on it for about 3 weeks. And then once we got her off the gluten, she was fine. So it really does depend on each person.
Mm-hmm. And then what about GABA, since we've brought it up now a couple times? What would that be for? What is GABA?
So GABA is gamma amino butyric acid. It's an amino acid, and it's a neurotransmitter, and it's the most calming neurotransmitter. And when we've got low GABA levels, we're going to feel stiff and tense. So it's more of a physical kind of anxiety. Think of stiff shoulders, feel like stiff kind of muscles, and it's a more kind of physical anxiety. And there's an amino acid called GABA, which taken as a supplement is really amazing. I was a GABA girl, and it really was amazing for me. You'll hear some people say that GABA doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier and it's not going to work and you need to do other things to raise GABA levels. But, you know, based on my own experience and based on hundreds and thousands of my clients, GABA is amazing for a lot of people. And I'm not even sure if it's working by crossing the blood-brain barrier. I've seen some recent research showing how it's working at a cellular level, and it may be affecting hormonal levels. And we do know that there's a connection between the hormones and the neurotransmitters. For example, GABA is very closely associated with progesterone levels. Serotonin is very closely associated with estrogen levels. So I find for a lot of my clients who have hormonal issues, getting them on these raising their neurotransmitter levels will also start to normalize hormonal imbalance, which is really great. And then if there's still an issue once we've been working together for, 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 months, then we might look at some of the hormone balancing. But just adding in these amino acids initially is amazing. And then the other things that help with GABA, of course, is doing yoga. There's research showing that yoga, tai chi, will actually raise our GABA levels too.
And GABA is something I recommend to a lot of my friends, when they're feeling anxious or stressed. Mm-hmm. And I take it sometimes. Yep. I know a lot of friends from work who take it. So mm-hmm. seems
yeah.
to be
and
a favorite.
Yeah, and it's great. It's easy to take. And the GABA that I like is actually an over-the-counter GABA called GABA Calm by Source Naturals. It's sublingual, which is really great. It seems to be more effective, I find, as a sublingual form. And I must just say that a lot of companies are now making a form of GABA called Pharma GABA, Pharma. And I have not found that to be as effective as the regular GABA with my clients.
So that's the one I take.
It is.
I like it.
And, yeah. Oh, good. And you like it. Good. That's good feedback.
I do.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's the one, because I work for Thorne. That's the one that that Thorne makes. And all of my doctors use it with their patients and, get great results.
Oh,
so.
Good. I'll have to look into that one. Maybe the one that I had people try was not, obviously you're getting different levels of quality with different companies. So I will look into that.
Yeah. It could be, a difference between the absorption or what else is in the capsule. Because, with Thorne, it's pure GABA. So that could be why. If there's magnesium stearate added, there might be absorption issues. So
good to know. I will check it out.
Yeah.
I love learning new things. Thank you.
So one thing that stood out to me, though, in your book was that, and just because my blood pressure tends to be low sometimes, but you said that with low blood pressure, GABA and taurine could be contraindicated. Can you explain why?
So GABA can make your blood pressure go lower. So, okay. And it may be very high levels that do that. So you just want to be aware of it with any of the amino acids. If you have any kind of side effect, you get a headache or you feel lightheaded or you don't feel good, you want to stop. And the great thing is, as I said, you get good results with the aminos right away. If you notice something good, that's great. If you notice something bad, you'll notice right away and you want to stop. And it's just something to watch out for. It's not something that I would say to someone who's got low blood pressure, definitely don't take GABA, but just watch it and make sure that you don't feel bad with it. And with all the amino acids, there are contraindications that need to be considered. Certainly with, I mentioned the tryptophan and 5-HTP if you are taking an SSRI. The other one that I want to mention is tyrosine should not be taken if you have melanoma and high blood pressure. You need to watch it. You just need to watch it. So, and then some of them you need to watch if someone has bipolar disorder. So it's good to be informed and just know what the contraindications are.
Yeah, so make sure you check out the book. So one condition that you said you struggled from, which I really hadn't read much about before your book, is pyroluria. Mm-hmm. What is it, and how do you test for it, and how common is it, and what do you do about it?
So, yes, and let me just spell it, because I know there's going to be some people listening to this who may not have heard of it as well. Pyroluria, PYROLURIA. And it's a genetic condition where you have these cryptopyroles that are produced when you are under a lot of stress, and they attach to zinc and vitamin B6 in the body, and they are excreted in the urine. So it's a genetic condition that you're born with, and the research was actually done by Carl Pfeiffer And he was working with patients who had schizophrenia, and they had these cryptopyroles, which ended up with them having lower levels of zinc and vitamin B6. And I have this condition. I tested for it. I did a urine test, and it is way more common than we realize. I would say at least 50% of my clients have this issue. There's some facts from other practitioners saying that 30% of people with alcoholism have it, that a lot of people on the autism spectrum have this condition called pareidolia. And it's a lot more common than we realize. The interesting thing is that I'm just seeing this connection between introversion and pareidolia. So a lot of introverts have looked at this pareidolia questionnaire and said, wow, this is me. And I believe that if we address the pareidolia with the nutrients, and I'll tell you what those are in a second, if we address the pareidolia with these nutrients, a lot of people who feel that they are introverts may actually feel less introverted and feel less anxious. And I'm not saying introverts need to be changed, because I know there are a lot of introverts who say, don't change me, don't try and fix me, I'm quite happy the way I am. But if you're an introvert and you feel uncomfortable in social settings and you feel uncomfortable with large crowds and you just prefer one-on-one interaction, then you may, in actual fact, have pareidolia, and you may be able to address it. What I didn't say is that when you have this condition called pareidolia, as well as having anxiety and inattention, you have this terrible social anxiety. And that's what I had. I really felt uncomfortable in social settings. I would have to force myself to put on a brave face and go out and do it, and I really felt very uncomfortable. The other thing with pareidolia, you'll often have signs of low zinc, so you'll have stretch marks, or you may have white flecks on your nails. You may have blood sugar issues. Often with the low zinc and the low B6, certainly with the low B6, you have morning nausea, and you don't feel like eating breakfast. So for people who are pareidolic, they're not eating breakfast in the morning, so then they set themselves up for blood sugar swings throughout the day. The amazing thing is when you supplement with vitamin B6 and zinc, and also evening primrose oil, because a lot of people with pareidolia have low levels of the omega-6s rather than the omega-3s, you can totally eliminate your symptoms. The important thing to know is that it's a lifetime thing. If you have this condition and you stop the B6 and you stop the zinc and your omega-6s get low, the symptoms come back. And it's very easy to confirm it. I've had a number of clients who said, no, it can't possibly be the zinc and the B6. And they stopped the zinc and the B6, and sure enough, the symptoms come back. Now, when you are under a lot of stress, the symptoms are a lot worse. So for people who have it, if they're in a very stressful situation, they may need to increase their zinc and B6. And I do want to just mention that the levels of zinc and B6 are a lot higher than what you would typically get, that you would, you know, recommended for the recommended daily allowance. So it is therapeutic levels. There is a urine test, which is not very accurate these days. And what I do right now is rely on the questionnaire. And unfortunately, the testing, the testing with urine is difficult because the urine can be unstable and the results are not always very accurate anymore. So I am looking to talk to other labs to try and figure out a way that we can test this. But right now, for me, I have someone do the questionnaire. If they have a lot of the symptoms and they get on the zinc and the B6 and they feel better, then we know that they need the zinc and the B6, and if they stop it and the symptoms come back, then we know that it's likely the pareidolia that they're dealing with.
Very interesting. Something you wrote in the book was that people who have it usually have low iron as well. Is there a connection between that? If someone is anemic, should they also check to see if they have that?
I wouldn't use that as the driving factor. It's because the cryptopyroles, it's part of the process of making iron that is affected, which is why it causes low iron. If you have low iron and you have a lot of the other symptoms, then I would definitely think about it. But I wouldn't use iron as the driving force. The biggest factors with pyroluria is this inattention that you cover up. A lot of people will say to me, well, I've always been like this, and I've just dealt with it. I cover it up, mm-hmm. and I put on a brave face, and I do it. But I've got this inattention, and I really feel uncomfortable in crowds. They prefer one-on-one interaction. Those are the classic symptoms. The other interesting one is that you'll often have, if it affects women more than men, and you'll often have lookalike sisters, or you may have a mom with lookalike sisters. And that's just a trait that Carl Pfeiffer noticed with the people that he worked with. And he actually felt that that schizophrenia was a spectrum disorder, similar to the autism spectrum disorder, and full-blown schizophrenia is on the one end and pyroluria is on the other end. So it's pretty interesting.
I learned some interesting stuff from Dr. Tom O'Brien last week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to screw this up, but something, I need to have him back on the show. But they found that if women did this test, I don't think it was gluten sensitivity, but had these certain antibodies, they tracked these, you know, when they were pregnant, they tracked these children through their lifetime, and 30 to 40 years later, the women who had those antibodies during pregnancy, those were the ones who developed schizophrenia. So I thought that was very interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to get him back on the show so I don't tell that story the wrong way. So
was that on one of your shows?
No, we just had dinner last week and we talked about that. So
well, I'm very interested. Any research on schizophrenia, I would love to learn more about it. And I want to just mention that there are other factors that I've heard that are tied to pyroluria, and that is Lyme disease. And I'm thinking it could be related to the fact that Lyme is a stress. It's a stress on the system, and mm-hmm. that it can cause the pyroluria to manifest itself. Because some people may have it, and it may not become evident. I find a lot of women, things will get really bad as they get into perimenopause. And it was very interesting. I actually discovered I had it not through the pyroluria test. When I was having all my anxiety issues in my late 30s, I read Anne-Louise Gittleman's book, Taking Charge of Your Perimenopause. And she said, if you've got PMS, perimenopausal type symptoms, take zinc, B6, and evening primrose oil. And I took those for my PMS, and lo and behold, it helped my anxiety as well. So those three nutrients, zinc, B6, and evening primrose oil, are my top three nutrients that I use for my women clients, because it helps with perimenopause, it helps with PMS, and it helps as women are moving into menopause, and of course it helps with anxiety as well. So I think that, you know, the hormone switching as you go into perimenopause or menopause is maybe like a little mini stress on the system, so it'll make these anxiety symptoms worse.
Mm-hmm. And Tom O'Brien is having a gluten summit coming up, so we'll have to check that out.
I know about it. I'm so excited. I've been sharing it with everyone, and I'm thrilled to be that he's doing it. I think it's going to be really great.
Yeah, I think it starts next week.
Yes, 11th of November.
He's going to come on the show to promote it. Yeah. I need to plan that out.
Yes.
What's your favorite story, like client story, that you want to share to wrap things up?
I will share a client story of a woman who used to say that she had a almost demonic urge to eat sugar and all things sweet. And I'm going to share this story because she used one of the amino acids that I didn't talk about earlier. She was a yoga teacher, but she was anxious, and she was just a total sugarholic. She just loved sugar. But she had sort of used willpower to not eat junk sugar, but she was eating what she considered healthy sugars, which was a lot of honey and a lot of concoctions with coconut oil and agave nectar and all these little concoctions, which ended up being quite a lot of sugar throughout the day. You know, it was, I'm not a fan of agave nectar, by the way, but honey is okay, but if you're eating a lot of it, it's not a good thing. And she couldn't stop herself. It just was totally out of control. And I had her try glutamine, which is an amino acid, just like serotonin, which I talked about, like tryptophan, which I talked about earlier. But glutamine helps to stabilize blood sugar, so it provides fuel for the brain, and it also completely switches off sugar cravings if you open the capsule onto your tongue. And as well as doing that, some of it converts to GABA, so it can be calming as well. Some of it converts to GABA, some of it converts to glutamate, which is a little bit stimulating. So it'll give you a little bit of energy, but it can also be very calming. But the end of the story was she would, whenever she felt this urge to have something sweet, she would open a glutamine capsule onto her tongue, and it completely took away the sugar cravings, and it started to calm her down. Now, she had other things that we had to work on. It obviously wasn't just that, but it gave her results right away. And the funny thing is that she said to me, which a lot of my clients say to me, why would I take a little white glutamine capsule when I could have this nice little treat? And I said to her, this, what I say to all my clients, and I tell all of them this, just listen to your nutritionist and say to yourself, I'm going to have the sweet treat, but I'm going to listen to Trudy and I'm going to try the glutamine. And then when I've had the glutamine, if I still feel like it, I'm going to have the sweet treat. And they will do the glutamine and then the sweet treat will just go out of their head. They don't even think about it. And you just have to do that once or twice. And once you've done that once or twice, you won't be tempted. And that's the great thing about the aminos. It's very easy to stay on the amino acids, because you feel so great. And as soon as you stop, some of those, you know, things come back, obviously up to a point until your levels have been repleted. But it's easy to stay on them because you get results right away and you feel so great. And it just makes it so easy. Fixes the cravings, fixes the anxiety, boosts the mood. It's just wonderful.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Your book is awesome. I actually did read the whole thing. So if you guys want to check that out, The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. And can you share your website again? I know you have some free gifts on there too.
Yes, so antianxietyfoodsolution.com is my website for my book. I've also got the everywomanover29.com, which is my consulting website. But if folks go to antianxietyfoodsolution.com/freebies, F-R-E-E-B-I-E-S, I've got a document there on gluten intolerance and how to do a gluten challenge and trial. There's some information on pesticides and their effect on the brain. And then two documents, 9 great questions women ask about food, mood, and their health. And then another document, 5 simple steps to reduce anxiety now, which has information on breakfast and sugar and caffeine and other good things.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
On tomorrow's show, 2 shows in a row, I'm interviewing Dave and Lana Asprey. Their book is called The Better Baby Book, How to Have a Happier, Healthier, Smarter Baby. And he is also the creator of Bulletproof Coffee, known as the Bulletproof Executive. So we will be talking about coffee, I'm sure, again tomorrow. So come back and check that out. Trudy, thank you so much again for coming on the show, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Evelyn.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good night.